In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A friend of mine once described a church that he was a part of as the land of the misfit toys. As a church, we may well find like the gathering of misfit toys at times. Because at times in our lives, many of us might feel left out. But in the church, we seek acceptance through the commonality of our faith. When we experience the isolation of feeling left out, we may choose to focus on those that seem to be included, those that are so confident, so sure of themselves, so engaged with all aspects of community. Because these people exude a confidence of belonging. So we who might feel left out seek out places to feel included. And of course, the church is a place that should help people feel included. In other parts of society, in our communities, it's the clubs that have developed as places where people meet with like-minded people for particular purposes. And there are all sorts of clubs in our society, from clubs in schools and colleges to political, sporting and social clubs. And most have a particular purpose or activity, and most have a particular barrier to entry. Membership might be limited to a set number of people, making them exclusive. Or they might be limited by entry fees, again, making them exclusive. They might be limited by political leanings or gender, or by who might you know. One thing that clubs all tend to have in common is that they exclude at some level. Identity and worth of membership is achieved by excluding those that don't measure up, or for some other reason. But who wants to be part of a club only to be harassed and confronted with someone who has opposing views or someone who doesn't like where you come from or how you look? But once you're inside, once you've been accepted, you generally get a say on who else can be accepted and who should be let in. And it's sad to say that many of our churches across all denominations sometimes take on this culture of being a club. We even use the language of membership to describe our formal connection with the church. And we also annually pledge to support the church financially. And we sometimes call these fees or dues. The Episcopal Church is well known throughout the country for the sign that hangs in front of nearly every one of our churches. But this church, it doesn't. But what does that sign say? It says, "The Episcopal Church welcomes you." But do those that come in our midst actually feel welcome? Many of our churches have fallen into the trap of turning inward. But focusing inward, the culture says that those that are newcomers into the church are welcome, but they have to break into the small group that's here. So a parish must understand that the culture and understand its culture and work to ensure it is open and it celebrates the outsider, and not become club-like with barriers to join. More importantly, our parishes must be outward-focused so that we can participate and undertake the necessary evangelism that we are called to do to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in our community. As the body of the resurrected Christ, we are the body of Christ, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit means we do the work of God with joy and with wonder and with energy. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel that was written by Luke. And Luke was a physician and an historian, and he was also a Gentile, making him an outsider in first century Palestine. And his writings focus on the role and place of the outsider in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He highlights for us the role of women, common labourers like shepherds, those that were different like the Samaritans, and the poor. Maybe these were the first century misfit toys excluded from mainstream society. On this last Sunday of Advent, our attention is ever so gently turned towards Mary, the betrothed of Joseph, a young girl by our understanding, but in the first century, a woman of an age to marry and to start a family. And Luke provides us with his wonderful account of Mary and Elizabeth, her cousin, a much older woman. These two women were outsiders in their communities, but two women who by their faith in God helped change the world. We pick up the story after the Annunciation where Mary has been visited by the angel Gabriel. He told her that the Lord had selected her to bear a child who was to be called Jesus, and who would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. After Gabriel reassured her that her older cousin Elizabeth, who had been unable to conceive, was also with child, Mary consented with those wonderful words, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Mary was so filled with energy and excitement and wonder that she immediately rushed off to visit Elizabeth. And Mary resembled the sacred Ark of the Covenant, carrying the sacred presence that was Jesus with the Holy Spirit before her like the cloud that led the Ark through the desert to the promised land. Mary journeyed with energy as she hastened on to tell the good news to Elizabeth and to celebrate her with her. Mary carried to Judea the news of peace, goodwill, and salvation. Her haste and her joy will illustrate the later mission of the apostles and the church after her. Mary is the archetype of the church as it should be, filled with the Holy Spirit, carrying the Christ child within, bearing the word. An author who's written on Mary says, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, bearing the word and the body of Christ, the church has only one desire and one joy, and that is to transmit them to all people, that they too may share in the peace, goodwill, and salvation by the proclamation of God's rule. Further, he says, the church spiritually bears within her the word of God, as Mary does both physically and spiritually. The church is to cause the greeting of God to be made known to all. The Lord be with you. As Mary approached Elizabeth, she immediately felt her son stirring within her, reacting to the power of Mary's presence in bringing news of her pregnancy with the Son of God. The unborn John trembles with joy in a way that David danced and leapt with joy before the Ark of the Covenant when it was entering Jerusalem. Mary's presence fills Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit and the knowledge that Mary is blessed to be carrying the child of God. And this is the beginning of the messianic rejoicing, related to the unity that has come about as this mother truly comes to understand her link to the mission of the Lord, the Saviour of God's people. The unity of mother and son emphasises very strongly the reality of the Incarnation, where God has truly taken flesh in the Virgin Mary, is the Son of Mary, and Mary is the Mother of God. Mary's realisation of Gabriel's promise and Elizabeth's blessing of Mary for believing causes Mary to proclaim the glory of the Lord in these famous words that we now know as the Magnificat, or in the Latin for glorifies. The words she chooses drip with ancient Jewish praise to God. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. This opening phrase should be a mantra that we all adopt and recite each and every day. With Mary chosen as the vessel to bear our Lord, we too are chosen as the vessel to bear the body of Christ in this world. The church, as the gathering of the body of Christ, must magnify the Lord and rejoice as we take the word of Christ into the world with joy and wonder. None of us can predict when an angel of the Lord will appear before us, nor can we predict when the Holy Spirit works in the souls of those that we touch, be it with words or, with the more importantly, with our example of godly living. The church cannot be a club-like place that excludes anyone. The church is the holy vessel of God's Spirit, with a mission to bear to the world peace, goodwill, and salvation by the proclamation of the reign of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. When the church acts in the world the way God intends, it awakens in people the signs of faith. It's like the spark that was ignited when Mary arrived at Elizabeth's door, that caused John to tremble in her womb with joy. The church must be open and truly welcoming of everyone. The church must go out into the community like Mary and touch those that haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the church's mission, to reconcile all people to God through Jesus Christ. Some churches seek to burst forth into the world with strong words and snappy slogans. But the church should go out and take her place humbly at the table of the poor, the lonely, the labourer, and the outsider. Elizabeth blessed Mary for her belief in the message of the Lord. Her blessing is like a benediction where we acknowledge the act of grace of the Lord upon us and upon others. We too bless those that we encounter in God's name. We bless them by standing with them, welcoming them, baptizing them, and caring for them at all times. God has richly blessed us, and with our lives of godly example, we bless the lives of others, so that they too may be fully embraced by the love of God and the joy of believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.